So again, we are learning. It's a perfect time right before Shavuos, being Misayim Sefer Shemuel Beis. So we are in the 24th parak of Sefer Shemuel Beis, right at the end, parak of Dalet. So the last parak was not particularly exciting. It listed off a whole bunch of David's officers and David's generals, but now we do actually conclude with a very, very important story. Related to this week's parsha, actually, and the fact that we're being Misayim obviously is related to Shavuos. So again, it's a perfect coincidence of sorts, hashkacha pratis, that we're learning this perek in particular today. So perek chav daled, here we go. Vayosef af Hashem lacharos b'Yisrael. Not exactly the beginning that we would want to have for the last perek, but Hashem is angry again against Bnei Yisrael. His anger flares against Bnei Yisrael. Vayosef says David bohem lemor, leich mnei Yisrael ve'is Yehuda. Again, it's a very interesting language that the Navi uses over here. He Vayosef David almost is like he incited. He pushed David to count Bnei Yisrael. Now, counting Bnei Yisrael is a sin. Not allowed. Not allowed to count Bnei Yisrael. And the fact that Hashem was angry against at Bnei Yisrael, why was he angry at Bnei Yisrael? So it's not 100%. It's not 100% clear from the Pesukim. It could be all of the things. Some of the Pharisees say all the things that have happened until now. Right? They were never really punished for the rebellion of Absalom. Yeah, Absalom was punished, but Klal Yisrael weren't punished for the fact that they pushed back against David. It could be because of what happened with Sheva ben Bichri, his rebellion. Or it could be, as some suggest, that it was private sins. They just weren't living up to par at that time. And for whatever reasons, the David needed to make this error. Now, certainly, it does not mean that he was forced to, right? His bechira was not taken away from him, but for whatever reason, he was, enticed to potentially count Bnei Yisrael, and the downside to counting them was lost to him. He just it wasn't where his head was, and we'll see. It wasn't lost upon the other people that. So why would he want them to count? Because once he counted them, then there would be reason to punish Bnei Yisrael. And since he was angry at Bnei Yisrael, because of, again, whatever they had done, right, there are documents that says, Lo yadanu zecharon lama haya. We don't know why Hashem was angry. He doesn't tell us. There was some sort, again, they obviously had done something wrong, but exactly what is not told to us. And we'll see how the story unfolds. Pasuk Beis. Vayomer ha-melech al-yoav sarachayla sherito. So David says to his lead general, who is that? Yoav. Shut no bechol shiftei Yisrael midon ve'ad be'er sheva upiktu es ha'am v'yadati es mispara am. He gave him a mission to travel amongst the Jewish people midon ve'ad be'er sheva. That is the phrase which is often used to just note the entire breadth of the land and count everybody. Why? V'yadati es mispara am. Just that I should know the number. And that is problematic because, again, perhaps if there was a compelling reason to count Bnei Yisrael, so maybe there are reasons at times to count Bnei Yisrael, but there was no compelling reason to do it. So Yoav says to the king, V'yosef Hashem Elokech Elohim Kahim V'chahim Me'a Pamim V'enei Adoni HaMelech Ro'os V'Adoni HaMelech Lomach HaVeitz B'davar Hazeh. What do you need this for? Why do you want to count the people? Right? Hashem should increase the number of your people 100 times. What do you need to count them for? Now, obviously he was telling him this is a really, really bad idea. Like, we don't count Jews. Every little child knows we don't count Jews. What was David's response? Nothing doing. Basically says, who knows better, me or you? Me or you? You're just a general. A general is not allowed to overrule the king. And Yoav, again, it's not Yoav's fault. Once David HaMelech commands him to go do it, he clearly does have to do it. He tried to stop David from doing it. But once David is not going to listen, that's it. So Yoav had to get together his men, and because they were going to be the ones who had now been instructed to count the Jewish people. So they crossed over the Yarden. They crossed over the Yarden, Vayachanu ba'aroer, and they camped in Aroer, Yemin ha'ir asher besoch ha'nachal ha'gad ve'el Yazer. And in the middle of the Valley of God, and then they went to Yazer. Why did they start there? Why did they start with, he started with God, right? Aver ha'yarden, the other side of the Yarden. Why did he start with God? So the Mefarshim tell us something fascinating. Says Rashi, Hitzchil b'bnei Gad, l'fishim giborim v'kashim. They were warriors. They were not pushovers. Amar halavai v'yilchem ubi v'yafal yadim. Maybe they'll fight back and will refuse to get counted. Yoav was trying to figure out, how can I do both? I don't want this count to go through because I know that the results are going to be terrible, but I have to listen to the king. I'm stuck. So he figures if he goes in such a way that David is going to, that the count won't happen, but it won't be his fault, he'll be in the best of shape. So he goes to God and he's hoping that the mighty warriors of God are going to refuse. But it does not happen. Vayavo ha-gilada v'l'eretz tachtim chachi vayavo dana ya'an v'saviv el tidom. They came to Gilad and they went to the land of Tachtim Chadshi, and they went around to Tidon. Vayavo mimivtzar tzor v'chareach evi v'achnei v'aytzum negav yudav v'ersham. They kept traveling around the land. Nobody was refusing. Why was nobody refusing? Presumably, because he was coming with the order of the king. Meaning the same trouble that Yoav had, that he needed to follow through even though he knew that he shouldn't, but the king told him to do it. As long as they believed that Yoav was acting because the king told him to do it, so what right did they have to stand in Yoav's way? They're like, okay, what are we supposed to do? What are we supposed to do? And whatever he did, we'll see it's clear in the next pasuk, Yoav was just trying to stall and hope that David will come to his senses and will stop the count. It will stop the census before it's over. Pasuk Ches. Vayashutu b'chol aretz, he traveled up and down the land. They went everywhere. Vayavo miksei tishah chadashim ve'esrim yom Yerushalayim. It took 9 months and 20 days. It's quite a long time. Quite a long time to do the entire census until he was ready to return to Yerushalayim. So they came back to Yerushalayim. That's where they started from. And that's where they're going to have to report to David HaMelech, the final count. Pasuk Tes. Vayitain Yoav es mispar mifkara amel HaMelech. And David has to file, he has to submit the census, he has to give the report to the king, to David. Vatihi Yisrael shmona meilos elef ish chayo sholif cherev. They were 800,000 warriors, people who could fight, who could draw their swords. V'ish Yehuda chamesh meos elef ish. And specifically from Yehuda, there were 500,000 men. Again, I guess apparently they wanted to, those two different counts. Okay. Some of them, unfortunately, are trying to grapple with just lining up the numbers here with the numbers in the different Hayyamim, and they don't all add up. We're not going to get involved in that right now, right? It seems to be, it would not be surprising if these numbers were rounded slightly, right? The chances they all came out exactly as whole perfect numbers doesn't seem to be so likely. But okay, I don't think it's necessarily problematic. So he reports the numbers, and what happens now? Pasuk Yud. Vayach leiv David oso achari chein sofar asam. And suddenly it hit David. It hit his heart, hit him in the heart. He realized right away, I shouldn't have done this. As much, more than 9.5 months this is going on. But David was blinded to it. He couldn't come around. And now suddenly he saw that we're in a bad situation. We're in a bad situation. And Hashem is angry. Vayomer David Hashem chatasi ma'od asher asisi. Right away. And again, to his credit, this is a character trait that David has exhibited numerous times already. As soon as he realizes that he does wrong, he admits it. He's not perfect. He says, Chatasi, I sinned. And he says the same thing here as well. But he also realizes that it's a little too late and that they're going to be punished. Chatasi mod asher asisi, v'ata Hashem, ha'averna esavon avdecha, ki niskalti me'od. Please don't hold on to the sin because I was foolish. I was foolish. So what is Hashem going to respond now? Now again, the backdrop is that, it's hard to use these words exactly, but it's almost like Hashem was looking for an excuse to be able to punish the Jews because they deserve to be punished. He was just looking for another impetus. The reason that would have to be right now. Right now. So he certainly wasn't going to simply, you know, wipe it all out and atone for the Jewish people, because the purpose of David being somewhat blinded to making this error was so that the punishment could now come. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Udvar Hashem haya agad hanavi chosei David emor. Apparently, Navi now at this time was God, and he was David's Navi. And he was the one who gets the message from Hashem as to what is going to happen. Halof v'dibarta el David, go and speak to David. Ko amar Hashem. This is the message from Hashem. Shalosh anochi notel olecha, bechar lecha achas mehem ve'e'eselach. I'm going to give you three options. Pick your poison. Three different punishments that I'll potentially bring, and you have the choice. You can decide which of the three decrees you wanted. Wow. First, I've explained, David had tried this, he spent the whole night davening, but again, even still, Hashem was not swayed. So what are the choices? Pasuk Yud Gimel. Vayavo God el David vayagedo. So God comes to David and tells him, Vayomer lo hasavo lecha sheva shanim ra'av baratzecha, v'im shlosha chadashim nusicha lifnei tzarecha, v'hu rodzvecha, v'im heyos shlosha yashim deve baratzecha, ato da'orei ma'ashiv shochi dovar. Here are your three choices. One choice is 7 years of famine in the land. Okay. Choice number two, 3 months of fleeing from your enemy, running away from your enemy, or 3 days of a plague. 3 days of a plague. Tell me what you want to do. Tell me what you want to do. David had to decide which decree would, well, what's David's calculation? So presumably David's calculation is which one will A, not be the harshest on the people, but will also, David understands that as much as this was his fault, this isn't just about him, because Hashem would not punish all the Jewish people just because of David. So he understood that there was something that needed to be fixed amongst the Jewish people also. So the question is, what was going to move the people to do tshuva? Because that's what they really needed to do. And David had to decide. David had to decide. How do you make such a decision? Says Rashi. On the one hand, it says this on Pasuk Yedalad, which, we'll read it in a moment. But David says, or fine, we'll read the pasuk first. Pasuk Yedalad. Vayomer David el Gad tsar li ma'od. I'm terribly distressed. This is not what on earth am I supposed to do right now? What am I supposed to choose? What does Hashem want from me? Niplono v'yad Hashem ki rabim rachmav v'yad adam alapola. I would rather be in the hands of Hashem and not be in the hands of man. What does all that mean? So Rashi explains that David thought through the various options. And option number one is if you have Amar David, Imani Boror Li Hacherev Achshav, Yisrael Amrim Hu Boteach B'Giburav. Right, if I choose that I'll be pursued by the enemies, and the people are going to think not to do tshuva, they're going to okay, you know, David's a tough warrior, figures he can fight them out. It's not going to move the people. Shulo yamos v'acher yamuslu, he's not going to die. Imani borer harav, if I pick famine, yomer boteach l'ba'usha. Okay, David doesn't care about the people, right? He has a lot of money, and he'll be okay. So David says, I'm picking dever, I'm picking the plague. And why? So he says in the pasuk, why? Niplonav yad Hashem ki rabim rachamav u'dar adam ha'apola. I'd rather just throw myself to Hashem's hands. Throw myself to the plague. To the plague. I don't want enemies pursuing me. If we don't have food, we're going to have to go rely on other nations in order to get food. We're going to need the rachamim of other people. I don't want that. Disease comes. I'm in the hands of Hashem. Hashem is the ultimate rachamim. And then hopefully, something about the tshuva that Bnei Yisrael will hopefully do, if they have this experience, will move them and Hashem will respond in kind. That was the choice that David made. Okay. What happens? Immediately, Pasuk Tesvav, Vayitein Hashem Dever v'Yisrael mehar boker, V'yad Eis Moed. Immediately from the morning until, it says, the set time, the plague came. Vayamas min ha'am midan v'aber sheva shivim elef ish. 70,000 people died. 70,000 people died. What is this? V'yad Eis Moed. So it's a machlokas in the mafarshim, but many assume that what it means is that the 3 days were reduced. David was right. Rely on the rachamim of Hashem, and even the 3 days of plague weren't 3 days. It was whatever time we appointed. Maybe it was 1 day. Whatever exactly it was. 70,000 people died immediately in this terrible plague. Vayishlach yado hamalach Yerushalayim l'shachasa. And the angel, the Malach HaMavis, whoever it was that was in charge of this plague that was coming against the Jewish people, set out his hand on Yerushalayim to then destroy, to punish those who were in Yerushalayim. Vayinachim Hashem al hara'ah. And then Hashem, again, not regretted that, but Hashem changed his perspective about the bed. Vayomer lemalach hamashchis ba'am rav, atah haref yadecha, stop. Stop. The malach gets to Yerushalayim, you have no right to interfere with Yerushalayim. And where was the malach at that time? U'malach Hashem haya imgoren aravna hayavusi. He at that time was at the threshing floor of aravna hayavusi. Who was Aravna Hayavusi? And what was so significant about his threshing floor? So Aravna Hayavusi had been the king of the Yavusi people. And when David conquered the nation, they were not one of the seven nations that he was required to completely annihilate them. And therefore, as long as he accepted to keep the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach, he was permitted to remain in Eretz Yisrael. And so he did. He paid tax. He was a loyal citizen. Some, the Mitzvah even says that he converted at that point and became a Jew. David notices that that's where it stops.
Somehow he was able to see this malach
and that it was coming. Now you stopped. This is all my fault. You should have punished me. Why are you punishing all the people? The punishment should have started in Yerushalayim. It should have started with me. Why are you punishing everybody else? And God comes to David and he tells him, Alei Hakim Hashem, Alei Hakim Hashem Mizbeach, V'Goren Arav Nahayvusi. This is what Hashem wants. Hashem doesn't have to answer your questions, but Hashem wants you to bring korbanos on the threshing floor of Arav Nahayvusi. What was special about the threshing floor of Arav Nahayvusi is that it was on Har Moriah. It was on Har Moriah. This was the place which is destined to have the Beis HaMikdash. And it is a step in that direction of being able to ultimately build the Beis HaMikdash. And he tells David that I want you to offer karbanos here. Pasuk Yitesh. Vayal David kidvar gad kasher tziv Hashem. And David heeds the words of God and the instructions of Hashem. And he's going to go to Aravna Yivusi, Vayashkev Aravna. Aravna peeks out. Why was it with me? Vayashkev was peeking out. He was hiding. He was scared for his life. He didn't know what was going on here. But he sees that David himself comes. And he bows down in front of the king. Aravna says, what are you doing here? What mission could it possibly be that you need to come yourself? You have servants, you have people who can do things. And Rav is rising, I've been the king, I know what this is. You don't come out yourself, what's going on? Vayomer David liknos meimcha sagor liknos bizbech l'Hashem. I came to personally purchase your threshing floor in order to build a mizbech for Hashem. V'teyatzar magefa mi'alam. And that, I've been told by the Navi, is going to bring the plague to a halt. And Aravna is overwhelmed. This is amazing. This is incredible. Vayomer Aravna David, yikach v'yalo dinei melech ato beinav. Take it! This is going to stop the magefa. This is going to stop the plague. Have my threshing floor. It's yours. You don't have to pay me for it. And not only that, re'ya bakar la'ola v'amorgim u'kli'ya bakar la'itzim. Take my cattle and use that for the korban. Take the different tools that I use and burn them as the wood on the mizbeach. I'm in. I'm with you all the way. Hakol nasan aravna hamelech. Here, right? He's called Aravna Hamelech. Aravna the king. He was a king. He understood. He was a special person. Who understood what needed to be done, and was willing to give it over to the king. Hashem should accept your korban. What's David's response? Vayomer Hamelech El Ravna. Hamelech says no, lo, absolutely not. Ki kono ekne me'oscho b'mechir. I'm going to pay full price. I don't want anything for free. Where did David have a model that this is the way to do it? Avram Avinu would not take Maras Hamach Pela. He knows what happens when you take things for free. It doesn't work out so well. I'm going to pay. You tell me what the price is, what the actual price is. I'm going to pay full dollar for it. V'lo ala l'Hashem elo kai olo schinam. I'm not taking free korbanos, free animals. V'yiken David esagon v'savakar bekesef shkolim chamishim. And he purchased the threshing floor and the cattle. He had no problem using them. It wasn't like they were used for Avodah Zarah or something like that. He said, I'm not taking this for free. And he took it for 50 silver shekels. So the Rashi points out that in Divrei Hayomim it says that it cost him 600 shekels. It probably sounds a little bit more realistic. 50 shekel, I mean, shekel's obviously worth more than it is now. But it's pure silver, 600 shekels. So the Gemara asks how that could be, and it says he took 50 shekel from every shevet. So he took 50 shekel from every shevet equals 600 shekel. And then you understand the genius of David, right? This is Klal Yisrael. Everybody needs to participate. So I can't take money from every single person. But if I take it from every shevet, then everybody is bought into this place, which is the Makom HaMikdash Har Moriah. Vayiven Shom David Mizbeach LaHashem Vayal Olos Ushlamim Vayeyaser Hashem LaAretz VaTeatzar HaMagefa Me'al Yisrael. David follows the instructions of God. He builds the Mizbeach in that special place. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepted the tefillos of the people, and the plague stopped. But it's fascinating that the Sefer concludes with really the next step of David HaMelech trying to build the Beis HaMikdash, which is his dream. It's a dream that we'll see in Malachim. He's not able to fulfill. But at least that step, in terms of purchasing that place, the governor of Aravna Yusi, David HaMelech is able to do that. And that concludes the Sefer.